Okay, so like I was saying to our other callers who showed up a little early for the call, you sort of have like a special advantage for showing up early. And that's if you do have specific questions about the topic today, which is advanced information call strategies. We're going to be talking about how to convert information calls into immediate referral and multiply enrollment opportunities, as well as pre-framing commitment and you know, beating price bugaboo and things like that. And in today's market, this is more and more and more important every day. And I'll tell you a little bit about the experience I've had over the last several weeks testing this sort of paradigm with school owners. And I'll give you some details on that. But for everyone joining us on the call, I'm going to go ahead and actually let me go ahead and mute out all those bleeps and bloops here too. They will be distracting us for the rest of the call. So welcome to the call. I'm glad to have everyone on the line. We have callers from, looks like, all over the place. I see some international prefixes, so that's always pretty encouraging. Today we're talking about advanced information calls and how to convert the highest percentage possible of inbound information calls to appointments that actually show up. And there's several pieces of the strategy that we've been using very successfully in many of our Mile High Karate schools, but also with other NAPMA member schools as well who've been implementing these systems. And these are things that are working in today's market. Obviously, we all know that there's this, you know, amazingly, there obviously is this sort of cloud of economic strife that we're all fighting against. And the things that we're going to be talking about today, I have proven results for and we have stats for. They're actually working in today's market. So I'm very encouraged about that, and I think this is going to be very valuable for all of our listeners and our callers today. Two things really quick. Number one, obviously, this is Toby Milroy, Chief Operating Officer for NAPMA, the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. And we have two groups of attendees on our call today. We have our NAPMA members in our Maximum Impact program who are on our monthly subscription, receive our business building tools and strategies each and every month in their mailbox and our websites and many of our other member benefits. And we also have a very small select list of special guests on the line with us today who are not yet NAPMA members, but who over the last several weeks, I have, between myself and several of our other team members at the NAPMA office, have personally picked up the telephone and called over 300 martial arts schools in the last 4 to 5 weeks and played prospect. We've pretended that we were a prospect looking for martial arts lessons. And I randomly selected phone numbers of our obviously, as the National Association, we have the list of all the martial arts schools in North America and, in fact, Canada and several, I don't know how big the list is exactly outside the U.S., but several thousand outside the U.S. And so we randomly chose, with no particular sort, several hundred martial arts schools to call and to pretend that we were a prospect looking for martial arts lessons. And I perhaps had rose-colored glasses, being in the NAPMA environment and being surrounded by so many very successful school owners for so long in my own career. I sort of felt that the industry had moved past this. I sort of felt that, you know, handling an information call effectively and with a high degree of what's in it for them was sort of already done. You know, it was sort of already accomplished, and we needed to move on as an industry. However, in personally speaking to so many, you know, non-NAPMA members over the last several weeks, just to get a feel for how they're handling their information calls, sadly, I was dramatically mistaken, and I'm fearful to say that I was embarrassed, but. To hear some of the ways that the telephone is being handled in the industry still today was, you know, for lack of a better term, embarrassing. I was very troubled, and in that there was such a vast chasm of paradigm between what the customer needs, what a caller needs, and what the school owner was delivering, and on the information call. And I really wanted to take today to really help clarify some of these items, perhaps that are basic, but also move on to some things that are much more advanced that are really working very well for us in not only the Mile High Karate franchise, but also in many of our high-level member schools, to be able to drive referrals and things like that from directly from the information call in an empathetic, ethical, what's in it for them manner. So I'm really excited about today's topic. Again, if you're a little late getting on the call, or perhaps you know this technical glitch affected you as well, feel free to email me any questions you have about this topic now. I do have a couple questions from yesterday, and perhaps one or two from the day before that I hope to get to. I also hope to do some Q&A at the end of the call today. So if you do have a specific burning question or perhaps a specific objection or a specific challenge on your information calls that you want to get out and perhaps get some feedback on, I intend to save some time at the end of the call for that today. I do have three very quick housekeeping items. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, the second group of people who are on the call are a very small select list of those school owners who I actually called their school and who were handling the information call in perhaps less than an optimal manner. And I've invited them to attend this call as well. I felt in the spirit of fair play, since I had the opportunity to sort of learn at their expense, I wanted to share the feedback with them as well. So there are some of those people on the call as well, and I really hope that they can, as well as you, gain a lot from our conversation today. Three very quick housekeeping items. Number one is a week from this Friday, September the 11th, at 1 p.m., everybody write that down, September 11th at 1 p.m., we have a very special teleseminar with a really good friend of Master Oliver's, and he's become a very good friend of mine, Bill Glazier. And Bill Glazier is the president of Glazier Kennedy Inner Circle, which is Dan Kennedy's company. And Bill is really the boots on the ground guy when it comes to running that company, which is an interesting company to model. But he's just written a book, and it'll be released in just a few weeks, called Outrageous Advertising That's Outrageously Successful. And he's going to do a free teleseminar for us, which normally he charges several thousand dollars to do just a 30-minute teleseminar. But in this case, with the relationship that we have, and we're going to help him with his book and promoting his book and things like that, he's volunteered to do this for free. And really, he's a very, very creative marketer. And the things that he's doing we've stole many of them verbatim, and many of them at least in concept, and we're using them for our franchise locations and in our NATMA membership as well. A good example of this is one of his great stories, I think, that I hope he shares with us on Friday is he used to run menswear stores, and one of the biggest promotions that they had ever done was a three-piece postcard sequence that went to all of his prospects about a special sale on President's Day. And then he followed up the third postcard with a voice broadcast from a President Clinton impersonator. And the President Clinton impersonator said something like, in President Clinton's voice, hi, this is not your president, but the president of Gage's Menswear wanted me to call you and remind you that you should have received a postcard in your mailbox yesterday inviting you to Gage's Menswear for a very special, sale where you can, receive 20% off and a free toaster, or I don't know, whatever, whatever the offer was. And if you can't find the postcard, don't worry. Come on down anyway and tell one of your consultants the code word Bubba, and they'll go ahead and give you the discount anyway. So sort of kind of very creative marketing really gets the attention of your prospects. And it's much better than, the traditional flyer or ad card or ad slick that I think we're all accustomed to. And this is really the direction that NATMA has been going for over a year now. We're really pushing the industry towards things that are actually working in the marketplace, rather than just delivering a brand new shiny, ad slick every month, which we all know the responsiveness of newspaper is, diminished dramatically in the last 18 to 24 months. You don't need 64 ad slicks to put 3-column-inch ads in the newspaper, right? What we really need is, what the industry really needs is a very creative, sequential, strategic approach to their marketing systems that actually get results. So that's an interesting call, September 11th at 1 o'clock. And for everyone on this call, it'll be on the very same line, on the very same access pin. So if you are one of our special guests, you could also be a guest at that call as well. So that's coming up September 11th at 1 o'clock. Second item on my little housekeeping list here is, if you've not registered yet for the Extreme Success Academy coming up in Texas, you'll definitely want to make sure you do that. The deadline for discount rates at the hotel is the 7th of the month, which is in 5 days. So you've got 5 days to reserve deeply discounted hotel rooms in San Antonio. We have a very special staff training session at the Extreme Success Academy where we're going to be covering this very same topic, advanced information call strategies, as well as advanced intro strategies, advanced enrollment strategies, and advanced renewal strategies. And really, this is a huge opportunity for us to have a big impact on your staff members. And if you're your only staff member, then you want to put yourself in those staff training sessions, because this is really a nuts and bolts, no BS, sort of imbue them with these advanced strategies day, where they're going to not only get done-for-you scripts and dialogues, but we're going to role play. We're going to overcome objections. It's going to be a very impactful session for them. So you really don't want to miss that. The second piece of that is, over having conversations with some of our members over the last few weeks, I had a couple of people that sort of made a strange objection, that sort of had a strange, I felt a strange reason for not being able to make it to Texas. And I just wanted to recant that to you quickly. Sort of retell you that story. And the objection basically was the situation that the school owner felt that they were in was that they were afraid to close the school for a couple of days to come to the event. And I had two questions. My first question was, do you feel it's a challenge to close the school because it's 2 days of revenue that you'll miss? You know, you won't be able to do sales for those 2 days? Or is it that you feel that the students and the families will be put off? They'll be irritated and upset with you for closing the school for a couple of days. And universally, it was never the first one, because, you know, almost all school owners, you know, if they have 4 weeks to plan for it or 3 weeks to plan for it, can move their intros or their enrollments, you know, from one day to another without any impact on the results. So it wasn't, you know, not being able to do sales for those 2 days. It was really that they felt that they were tied to the school, that they were locked in, that they weren't able to, you know, close the school even for a day or 2 days to be able to get away and really improve their business. And I really empathize with that. I've been there myself with my own schools. In fact, even in other businesses, I felt that I was chained to the business like a stone, and the stone was, unfortunately, in this economy, that stone in many cases is dragging you to the bottom of the ocean, right? And without the ability to break that chain, you never will be able to break the chain. So my comment to them, my story, I guess, was, you know, I understand how you're feeling. I felt that way myself, and I really have. I've really felt tied to the business, in that manner before. But here's how we handle it in our schools, and it's very successful. In fact, there's two tiers of this. Tier number one is explaining it appropriately to your student. And how to explain it is this. You know, all elementary schools and most high schools and have teacher in-service days where the school doesn't have classes that day, and they send all the teachers to a camp or to a seminar or to a session where they're learning the newest and greatest and latest cutting-edge teaching techniques that they can then bring back to the school and add value to your program. And in fact, Mrs. Jones, it doesn't cost any more. In fact, we're going to be adding more value to the program by bringing back these new techniques, becoming better instructors, and operating a much more professional business that benefits you at no additional cost. So it's actually a win-win both directions. Now, it does require that we close the school for a couple of days and send our instructors over there. But I think you'd agree that what we're going to be bringing back to the school and integrating in the classes is going to be such a benefit to you that, you know, frankly, Mrs. Jones, you should be angry at us if we don't go and bring all this new information back to you, right? So that's sort of how you handle it. In fact, I've got a letter and a postcard and a series of emails that any school owner who's having this mental challenge that really wants to come to the show but needs help communicating to their families and communicating to the students, I've got these done for you resources already. So I can give you the letter, and it was broken down into a couple of postcards and is also broken up into a few emails and a dialogue that you can have with the customer and a flyer that you can put on the door and things like that. So that really shouldn't be a challenge. In fact, it's a unique opportunity. Now, I'll tell you what we're doing in many of the Mahi Karate schools, we're actually doing it backwards. We're actually having the students do a fundraiser to raise money to be able to send their instructors to these types of training events. So we've even pushed the pendulum farther, and we've gotten the students and the parents engaged in the process of really being anchored into the training level of the instructor. And we, you know, sort of explain it that, you know, your instructor is a fantastic instructor and he's great, and we really want him to be even better, so we're going to send him to this special clinic, and we're going to pay his tuition to go to the clinic and all of that stuff. And you know, we really wanted to see if we could put together enough synergy and enough cooperation to help even pay for his airfare. So, you know, we're going to do a car wash, and we need help to do the car, you know, things like that. So there have been huge opportunities to do that for school. So that's just a little tidbit that you may want to be thinking about. If you feel like you can't close the school for a day or two, then what that really means is you have to figure out how you can close the day, school for a day or two, because if you don't change that now, you'll never be able to. If closing the school for one or two days fractures the relationship with your customers, then you have a very weak relationship with your customers, and you need to fix that. You need to fix the relationship with your students, because God forbid you get sick, you know, get the swine flu that's going all around the country, right, and have to close for two or three days, and your whole business goes away. All of your students are gone when you come back. So you can't have that. You have to have a much more substantial relationship with your students, and it all comes from being upfront with them and explaining why this is a benefit to them. So I hope that that's useful. That was number two. Number three item on my little housekeeping list is, again, if you do have questions about our topic today, which we're moving into right now, advanced information call strategies, feel free to email that over to me at tobymilroy@natma.com, TobyMilroy at natma.com, NAPMA, and I will certainly try to get to those towards the end of today's call. But now into the meat of what we're talking about. The disturbing results that I was sort of explaining was we had physically spoken to just over 300 school owners over the last several weeks. And again, the level of efficacy and skill that the average school owner is having with these information calls was a little bit disturbing. Keep in mind, everything we're talking about today revolves around the frame of what I perceive to be a more substantial business model, which means attracting the right customer, building a school full of the right types of customers, meaning, you know, financially stable families. Those are our bullseye customers. Now, if for some reason you're marketing to a different segment of the market, that's fine. All of these strategies work just the same. However, in this economy, we have very strategically for years and years and years always tried to attract the customer and serve the customers who are least and last affected by recession. And it's showing in spades in this market. You know, some of our schools are having record grosses. Many are having record enrollments right now since we did that big summer push. I know two of our most recent franchisees had a complaint on our last call that they had too many leads to follow up with and not enough people to call them. So, I mean, that's a happy problem, right? So what I'm describing is a big piece of your business strategy has to be who do you want to serve? What customer do you want to serve? And are they a substantial customer? Are they someone who, you know, for example, today one of our team members at the office asked me for advice for a school owner who was going into a local college to do a demonstration and wanted to know how to maximize his opportunities for bringing people back to his school. And I gave him, you know, five or six things that he should do, collect data, you know, give him an offer that they can, you know, opt in for, those types of things. But in reality, that owner's strategy, in my vision, was a little bit skewed. I mean, a college student is probably the worst potential prospect that you could choose to serve, right? I mean, they're busy. You know, they have classes and they have partying to attend to, right? They have homework. And they're transient. You know, they mostly don't live in the city that they attend the college in, right? And they typically don't have financial resources. You know, some do, but most don't. You know, so there have been a lot of, you know, there's just a little bit of strategy that has to happen there. So number one is just keep in mind that the frame of what we're talking about today and these advanced information call strategies are working in today's market, and they're working for schools who are charging premium prices, attracting premium clients, and building a more recession-resistant business than just, you know, willy-nilly, right? And then just attracting whatever student they possibly can. So that's a frame for today's conversation. The second piece of that is it's important that you're solving important problems. If your product is just an athletic pursuit, or if your product is just a hobby or a pastime, then you don't have a lot of price elasticity, but you also really don't have the perception of a lot of value. Therefore, if a customer perceives you as an alternative to soccer or baseball, then their relative level of interest in what you do will be directly proportional to their relative level of interest in soccer or baseball, right? And if they called the soccer coach and the soccer coach said, yeah, well, we have tryouts tomorrow at 2, see you then, you know, they may or may not show up, right? But if they call us and they're having a challenge with Johnny's focus in school, then we're going to do our job to make them understand how big of a problem that is and how important it is for them to solve that problem right now, not tomorrow, not the next day, not 2 weeks from now, but they need to make a psychological decision to solving that problem now. And if you don't do that, if it's not important for them to solve their problem, then they just won't show up. You know, they might have a good conversation with you on the telephone and set an appointment and you hang up and then immediately not even think about going, you know, and not even thinking about showing up for their appointment. So we need to frame everything that we're talking about that way. And I like to quote Zig Ziglar's quote, and I've appended it, but Zig Ziglar's quote is, you know, you can get anything in life that you want if you help enough other people get what they really want. And what I would add to that is that if you're not getting everything you want, then you have two choices. You can either help more people get what they want, or you can help them solve more problems and help them solve more important problems. And if you're helping them solve little problems, they're willing to commit a little bit. If you're willing to help them solve big problems, they're willing to commit a lot, right? They're willing to really do a lot to solve those problems. So that's the frame of today. So our targets for information call show ratios are 80% info call to appointment show, which means we want 8 out of every 10 callers or 80 out of every 100 callers to set an appointment and then actually show up for their appointment. Now, you're going to have fallout from those who set the appointment and who don't show, and you're going to have fallout from those who call and don't set an appointment. And our targets for all of our franchise locations and, of course, our high-level coaching clients, is 80% total, so 20% washout from both phases, meaning 8 out of every 10 people who call you asking about lessons should show up for their first lesson. And then, of course, our second ratio is we want to be enrolling 80% of those people. So that's our target. So if you're doing anything less than 80%, then this is an area that you really, really need focus on. And if you don't know what your number is, then you have an even larger challenge ahead of you. You first need to be measuring at the rate of 100% every information call to appointment and every appointment to show. That's extremely important. You know, I just had a consulting day about a month ago with a school down here in Florida, down in South Florida. And I was looking at I mean, a beautiful location, a great website. I mean, just really, really good looking everything. You know, everything really looked professional and very nice. And when I really started to dig into the business, he was telling me about all of the amazing marketing he was doing. And he was really doing some cool stuff. I mean, really good copywriting, really good delivery methods, you know, interesting looking pieces. They solved big problems. They promised big benefits. It was really good stuff. But when I started looking through his numbers, his info call to appointment to enrollment ratios were miserable. He was enrolling about 40% of the people who showed up for their appointment. So he could spend all the money in the world on marketing he wanted to, right? But he's flooding water into a pipeline that's broken, right? And as fast as he could, you know, flush the water in the front end, it was washing right out the bottom because he didn't have a tight system to get people from the info call to actually enroll in the school. So that was what we had to work on. And the only reason we knew that was what we had to work on is because we had the numbers in front of us. You know, we could actually look at his conversion ratios, and we could look at what the statistics were. So I know that martial arts school owners, we hate numbers, right? We hate mathematics, and we're physical beings. We like to go do things, right? But you have to know your numbers. It's just like in a tournament. If you went and you know you're a fighter at a tournament and you like to do free sparring, but you never watch your own matches, right? You close your eyes, you know, and you just keep throwing techniques. It's exactly the same thing as throwing marketing into a market without measuring results, right? If you don't have a judge to call the point, or if you don't know you scored the point, then how do you know if the technique works? You know, or how do you know when to use it, right? So exactly the same deal. So to move on to my next to the next point here, our target is 80% call to enrollment. The key to all this is building relationships. And we're going to get into some technical today, the pivot profile praise prompt formula. But what is really important for all of us is that there are four phases of mastery, right? And if you guys listen to any of the stuff that we talk about with Collins and, you know, a bunch of these educational psychologists and educational developmentalists, there are four phases people go through in mastering a skill. They go from unconscious incompetence, where they don't know what they don't know, to conscious incompetence, where now they know that they don't know something, then to conscious competence, where they can do it, but they have to focus, then to unconscious incompetence. And a great example of this I've heard actually Anthony Robbins describe is tying your shoe. You know, when a little boy doesn't know how to tie his shoes, he doesn't even know he should tie his shoes, right? And then he's running down the sidewalk and steps on his lace and bam, does a face plant, right? And now realizes, aha, there's a problem here, right? So he just went from unconscious incompetence, not knowing he should even do it, over to conscious incompetence, where now he knows that there's a problem. He knows there's something he should do. Then he moves to conscious competence, where he can tie his shoes, but it takes a lot of focus. He's got to have his tongue sticking out of his mouth at just the right angle, and he's got to have his eyes squinted closed, and he's got to, you know, count the steps and all that sort of stuff, right? And then ultimately he moves to unconscious competence, where he can just do it without thinking about it. Now, unfortunately, what I found in my, you know, 300-plus calls was school owners were between unconscious incompetence and conscious competence, meaning that they just had no phone script whatsoever, had no ability or strategy on how they were going to handle a phone call, all the way over to being very scripted, which is good, but sounded like they were being very scripted, which is very bad. So what we're talking about today is about building a relationship, and you have to stay out of sales pitch mode. Right? As soon as you feel yourself sounding like you're in sales pitch mode, when you feel like you're talking about yourself, you just got to stop. It's not about that. It's all about them, right? So bullet point number one is this is all about relationship building. Relationship building is the key to all this. The only way someone will show up for an introductory appointment is if they want to show up. The only way to get them to want to show up is for there to be a relationship. In many cases, people will set an appointment with you just to get off the phone, right? If you have a very high info call to appointment ratio and a very, very low appointment to appointment show ratio, then you're probably going for the close too quickly on the call, or you're sounding too much like a salesperson on the call, and they're just doing whatever you tell them just so they can get off the phone with you, right? So those are numbers you really need to measure, you really need to know about so that you can make these adjustments. So bullet point number one is relationship building is the key. Sub-bullet point number one is stay out of sales pitch mode. Sub-bullet point number two is an information call should be all about them, not about you. Now, I know they're going to ask about you when the call happens, but we'll talk about how to handle that in a minute. But the information call should be 95% about that person, their wants, their needs, their goals, their desires, and their pain. It should not be about your style, your lineage, your rank, how many big bricks you can break, right? Any of that stuff, right? Think about if you were, looking for a doctor, and you called the doctor up, and he said, okay, I'm a doctor, what's wrong with you? And you said, well, I have this pain in my side. And immediately he said, well, you know what? I am the best cosmetic surgeon in the industry. I have 36 commendations from boards all across the world, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he goes off on a tangent about how he's the best cosmetic surgeon in the world, right? Well, you have a pain in your side. Number one, doesn't have anything to do with cosmetic surgeon, right? Number two, who cares about him? As a doctor, he should be concerned about you, right? He should be concerned about your needs, how he can help you, what your, you know, problem is, how he can help solve that problem. So we have to stay out of sales pitch mode, and we have to stay out of our own way. We have to stay out of our lineage and out of our style. And, obviously for 95% of the marketplace, they don't know anything about style anyway. They can't tell the difference between, you know, Goju-Ryu, Shito-Ryu, and Taekwondo, right? They just don't know, and nor should they care. You know, they should only care after they're a student, but that's a little different story. So sub-bullet point number three here is it's all about WIIFM, what's in it for me, the customer, the caller. What problems can you solve and how can you solve them? Big bullet number two is we do have to identify that when a potential customer calls, they have a question. In most cases, they have one of three, right? Either how much are lessons or what's the schedule? When are your classes? And probably number third is, you know, what style do you teach? Or do you teach X? Do you teach kickboxing? Do you teach MMA? Do you teach jiu-jitsu? Whatever. And in most cases, if they're asking the third, then that means they have some sort of tangential knowledge about that style. Perhaps they saw something on television that said, you know, Krav Maga is the way to go, and they're looking for Krav Maga. Now, the style question should never be a problem for any of us. The story that I like to tell is absolutely true. The very first commercial school that I ever opened up, the first five people I enrolled was a family. And it was actually a 51-year-old man looking for Tai Chi. Well, I don't teach Tai Chi, right? I was a Taekwondo style, a hard style. But his entire family enrolled in my school and, in fact, were one of the first leadership team members in my school, and in fact, his daughter ended up being one of my instructors for years. And I remember it was like yesterday. I scheduled the appointment while I was sitting in a Ruby Tuesdays having lunch with my wife, and his first question was, do you teach Tai Chi? And we'll talk about how to handle all that in just a few minutes. So the three questions typically that they ask are, how much are lessons, when are your lessons, and sort of what is, do you teach X or do you teach Y? And the thing you have to be asking yourself about that is, why do they ask that question? And in most cases, when they're calling up to ask how much are lessons or when do you have classes, the reason they're asking that is because, frankly, they don't know any better. They don't know anything else to ask, right? They have an interest. Something has stirred their interest. And they don't really know what to ask you. They don't know to ask you if you teach focus and confidence building skills. They don't know to ask you if you teach character development and leadership lessons. They don't know any of that stuff because they don't quite understand what we do, right? Now, again, keep in mind my frame. My frame is we are a character development school for children and families. If you're not, it's fine. You just have to apply what you are to this argument, right? So if someone calls and they ask about cost, schedule, or style, we follow the formula, and here's the beginning of the formula. But we just have to realize that the reason they're asking that question is because they're for the most part uneducated as to what we really do, and they're just really not sure what to ask. They have an interest or they have a problem, and they just really don't know how to get into a conversation with us. So we have to identify that. So big bullet point number three, the 4 P's formula. If you guys don't have the Way of the Phone product that NAPMA offers, you should have that. I mean that goes through the 4 P's in detail. It's a relatively old program. It's been around for a long time, but it's still very valid. It's very level one. It's very basic, and it's great for your staff. So you may want to check that out. It's called the Way of the Phone, and it describes the 4 P's very thoroughly. And I'm going to assume that everyone on the call has been through that, understands what the 4 P's are. I'm going to go through it quickly here, but we're going to move into advanced topics very quickly as well. So here are the basics. The 4 P's is pivot, profile, praise, prompt. Okay? So pivot, profile, praise, prompt. The first P, pivot. Pivot means whatever their initial question is, you're fundamental goal is to pivot off that question and move them into a more important conversation. So ring, ring, the phone rings, and someone says, hey, how much are lessons at your school? You need to immediately pivot off of that question and make price irrelevant, make program relevant, right? And, you know, the sort of stock scripted line for that many and most school owners are most comfortable with is, well, Mr. Jones, it sort of depends on, you know, who the student is and exactly what program is most appropriate for your needs. Who would these lessons be for? A child, a son or daughter, or yourself? So immediately you're transitioning their incoming question to a question coming back at them. And Tom Hopkins calls this the porcupine. I know if you guys are, you know, like me, you know, I try to consume everything I possibly can from Tom Hopkins and Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and Anthony Robbins and those types of things. He calls it the porcupine. And a porcupine is, if someone were to toss you a porcupine with all those spikes on it, what would you do? You would toss it right back, right? So in this case, we're going to answer their question with the question by making a simple statement of, well, we have many different programs at our school, which is absolutely true, and there are many different price points, which is absolutely true, and it does directly depend on exactly who the student is, what their experience level is, and all that sort of stuff for us, right? So what we're saying is exactly congruent with how we operate our school. So the answer to that question is, well, Mr. Jones, it depends on many factors, including which program or which package is most appropriate for you. Who would be the student? Would it be yourself or a son or a daughter? And then you immediately transition it into what's in it for them, okay? So that's the pivot. The pivot is just pivoting off that initial question. And we're going to move into more advanced topics in just a second on the same subject. Profile is profiling the student, finding out about the student. How old are they? Have they ever done martial arts before? Do they have experience in other sports and activities and things like that? What specific do they want to get out of this type of a program? And what specifically do you, Mr. Jones, want to get out of this type of program? Okay, that's the profile. You're profiling the student. The praise, P-R-A-I-S-E, praise, you're praising your program, basically. You're basically demonstrating, you're doing a value build and a benefit build for the student. So you're saying something like, they've identified to you in the profile what they want. So they say something like, you know, Johnny is, needs a little bit of coordination and he's having a little bit of difficulty, you know, focusing in school. Now, the praise piece of this addresses their specific benefit. So if he said coordination and focus, then when I go into my praise function, I'm going to be sort of explaining how our school helps with those problems, right? Well, you know, Mr. Jones, many parents call with exactly the same challenge, and I know how you feel. Many parents have felt the same way. But what they found through our program is da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? They found that by being involved in our structured classes, their children have been able to focus better in school and at home because of the way we operate our class structure. We have high-intensity physical time, but we also have very focused mental time. And you can describe how you specifically teach those benefits, right? And that's going to be different, you know, a little bit different for every school. But that's the praise. And then the prompt is prompting them to take action. So, Mr. Jones, the way to get started is we have a free trial program for students, and the first thing we have to do is to do a little evaluation with you and Johnny to figure out which piece of the program, which part of the program is going to be the most appropriate for you. And it'll take us about 15 or 20 minutes to do a little lesson with Johnny and sort of see what his exactly what his focus level is like and his attention span and some of his coordination issues. We're going to want to take a look at that before we can really make a congruent recommendation on what program is going to make the most sense for him. I have two times available. I have 2 o'clock on Thursday and 6 o'clock on Friday. Which one works better for you? Right? And you just set the appointment. So that's the prompt. You prompt them to take action. You prompt them to come in for an appointment. Okay? So let me quickly review that again one more time. The four P's very quickly, and this is very basic, is pivot, profile, praise, prompt. Pivot off the initial question. Profile the student, praise the program, basically, and then prompt them to take action, okay? So, again, I'm assuming that everyone on the call has knowledge of this and has some level of implementation of this, okay? Now, the promise I made to you in the description of today's call was advanced information call techniques. So I'm going to recommend two things. Number one, if you don't have a systemized 4P script for your school, that you build one, right, immediately. Everybody who answers the phone should be moving your clients through the 4Ps, should be moving them through that system so that by the end of the phone call, you not only have an appointment, but you also know what problems you're trying to solve. You know what challenges the student is having. Right, and you know how you can sort of go about helping that parent, helping that family. Now, the advanced piece of today. I know there's probably 50% of the audience is saying, "Oh my God, I don't even have the 4 P's. I need to go work on that." That's fine. Stay with that. I have some special tools for you at the end of the call today that I'll be able to help you with. Okay, so stay with that. But if you're already there, if you've already got an information call script working in your school and things like that, and you really want to take it to the next level, pay attention now, okay? So for the advanced piece of the 4 P's, the pivot is exactly the same. We're still going to pivot off there. Let me back up a half a second. Let me back up to the style question. If the prospect asks, "Do you teach Tai Chi?" Obviously, the porcupine you're going to throw back, just like the cost, is you're gonna pivot off onto, well, it depends on, you know, exactly what program's the most appropriate for you. Would these lessons be for yourself or a son or a daughter? For the style question, it's only a little bit different. The style question means that the customer wanted a specific benefit, right? Like my first 5 students wanted Tai Chi. They wanted flexibility and they wanted coordination and they wanted something low impact that wouldn't hurt them, right? Those types of things. So my question to him was, well, you know, Mr. Harper, let me ask you a question. What specifically was it that you wanted to accomplish in a Tai Chi program? What benefits were you looking for? What were you trying to do? And his response was just that. It was, well, you know, I've had back surgery and I've had knee surgery and my wife is, you know, 55 pounds overweight and we both wanted to lose some weight. We both wanted to do something that we weren't going to get injured doing and we wanted to gain some flexibility and some balance and some coordination. Okay, great. Well, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but in our program, everyone goes at their own speed. Everyone progresses at their own rate and at their own level, and it's a very low-impact sport if you choose to stay that way, if you choose to take it that way. And we make, you know, special workouts and special ways to do any exercise that might be dangerous for them, right? You know, something like that. So, but anyway, so it's very easy to pivot that interest into – pivot it away from a style and into a benefit. Right? That's really what you're trying to do. So now back to the advanced 4 P's. The pivot is exactly the same. We're still going to basically ignore the first question that they ask. And not ignore in a bad way, but pivot them over to a benefit rather than just a feature. The second piece of that is if they're talking about scheduling, you know, that never is useful either because, you know, I mean, everybody's schedule is different and, you know, it doesn't really matter. And, you know, it's all about how we can help them. So that's exactly the same type of a pivot. So the profile piece, this is where we spend much more time in the quote-unquote advanced area. in the initial four P's, in the simple version of the four P's, you're just trying to find out who the student is, what benefit they want, and you know, if they've ever done martial arts before, if they had previous experience, those types of things. If they have any specific challenges, you're just trying to find out basic information. Okay? Then when you go into your profile, when you go into your praise, you're targeting your praise to those specific benefits. Now, in the advanced version of this, you have some different initials you have to write down too. Under profile, you're going to want to put PAS, problem, agitate, solve. Okay? And the problem, agitate, solve formula, if you've been keeping up with any of my columns in the magazine, I described this, I think, 2 months ago in one of my marketing columns. Problem, agitate, solve is a formula for copywriting. It's a formula for writing really important, impactful ads that you identify the person's problem, you agitate and emotionalize the problem so that they really feel the pain, and then you show them how to solve it. And that's a very predictable, reliable, impactful way to write, but it's also exactly the same as a sales script. So, or an info call script, I'm sorry. So here's how we handle it in the advanced stages. In the advanced stages, we say, okay, Mr. Jones, your question sort of depends on exactly who the student is and exactly what part of the program is going to be the most appropriate for them. Who specifically are these lessons for, yourself or a son or a daughter? Oh, it's for my son. He's 9. Okay, great. So he's 9 years old. What specifically is it that you're interested in seeing him accomplish in a program like this? And you may have to dig a little bit, right? But perhaps the answer is, well, you know, he's having a little bit of trouble focusing in school, and I really want to help him with his coordination and his balance and things like that. Okay, great. So let me ask you a question. And now here's where you really go in and agitate this problem. And let me digress a little. In Anthony Robbins' Mastering Influence program, one of the things he describes is the pain that Ebenezer Scrooge felt, right? So if you think of the Christmas Carol, I think there's a great analogy. If you think of the Christmas Carol and you think about Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Ebenezer Scrooge had a deep wound, right? His soul was injured, right? He had a very deep wound, but he's decided not to feel the pain anymore, right? So his injury, his wound has been sort of scabbed over and ignored for years, right? Now, lo and behold, that evening, 3 master salespeople showed up, right? The 3 ghosts showed up, and they showed him that he really did have a pain. And they showed him how much that pain really hurt him, how much it cost him in relationships, how much it cost him in opportunity, in happiness, in just mental wellness, right? It showed him how much his wound really affected him. Now, right now, at this point in the phone call, we have someone on the line who feels that their son or daughter needs help with their focus. And right now, that wound only hurts him a little bit, right? He's sort of like Ebenezer Scrooge. See, people live in denial, right? We don't want to admit that we have problems in many cases. And this guy's, you know, mustered up a lot of courage to call you. So now what you've got to do is really find out how big of a hurt this is. And in most cases, it's a big hurt. It's a major challenge. We all know that if we could help every elementary school student and every high school student and every college student, we'd have a better world, right? And it's because that, you know, most people in elementary school and in high school and in college fail to learn how to set goals. They fail to learn how to be more focused. They fail to learn how to have more self-discipline and to be more committed. And it's our responsibility to make sure we can help these people, right? Well, this father, it's his responsibility to make sure he can help too. But he would really like to ignore that. You know what I mean? He would really like not to feel that pain. So he's ignoring it. So we need to make sure he doesn't ignore it, right? So here's where the problem agitate solve comes in. So now we have to ask some emotional questions. Mr. Jones, I understand. So your son Johnny's 9, and you're saying that he's having a little bit of trouble focusing in school, and you'd like to help him with his coordination and balance as well. That's great. We certainly have a program here that could help him with that. Let me ask you a little bit about his focus level. How's that affecting him in school exactly? Oh, well, you know, his grades are slipping a little bit, and his teachers are, you know, every now and then they're just kind of telling me that he's sort of staring at the ceiling and he's not just really paying attention as much as some of the other kids are. Oh, I see. Well, that does sound pretty serious, doesn't it? You know, how do you think that that's going to affect him if it goes unchecked? You know, what do you think that that's going to lead to? Do you think that that's going to be, you know, a negative thing for him, or do you think it'll just be just okay? Well, you know, I kind of just thought it would be okay, but you know, I've heard it now from two different teachers, and I really do think it's a problem. Okay, I see. Well, you know, it sure sounds like that's something we should, you know, really jump into and try to help solve right away. You know, God forbid it doesn't get solved. You know, how do you think that this might affect him in his professional career and the rest of his life? Well, you know, that's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm thinking that we really might need to do something. See, you see what I'm saying? You're setting the tone that you're taking this very seriously, and therefore he should be taking it very seriously too. And again, this is conversational. This is not reading bullet points on a script, although your people will need to have the script, you know, until they get to the, you know, unconscious competence stage, right? But this is very conversational. This is you're really legitimately taking an interest. See, here's how I feel about it, right? You can look at this two different ways. You can say, you know what? This all sounds like, you know, crap I've heard from Tommy Lee or crap I've heard from Tom Hopkins, and it's just all sales crap, right? You can think that way. But here's how I think about it. I know what my program can do, right? I've got students that have gone on to the Air Force Academy, to West Point. I've taken students from, you know, dramatic problems with focus and attention deficit disorders all the way up to being highly productive college students, college graduates, right? And their parents, not me, their parents point at me and they say, you know, you're the reason that he was able to accomplish this, right? Now, I know that's what my program can do. If you don't have that level of confidence in your program, then all this is crap, right? All this really is just sales scripting crap, right? But if you really do believe in your program, if you really do what you say you're going to do, and what almost all of your ads now say, right? You know, most of us, I think in the industry, we're mostly evolved enough that our ads don't talk about our style anymore, right? They talk about benefits now. But if you really do what you say you're going to do, then this conversation is perfectly congruent, right? So this conversation I'm going to have with Johnny's dad is, you know, well, Johnny's dad, how serious do you really think this is? Do you think that this is really something that we need to solve, or do you think it's just a passing phase? Well, I was hoping it was a passing phase, but, you know, it's been now, you know, several, you know, months, and he just, you know, I'm getting really concerned about it. Okay, I see. Well, you know, then this is definitely something we should, you know, seriously think about trying to get in there, get under the hood and solve, right? Don't you agree? Oh, absolutely. You know, see, now you've just built some emotional commitment from that person, not only to set up an appointment, but to solve this problem, right? Putting a lot of effort into getting someone to show up for an appointment is irrelevant if they haven't psychologically committed to achieving a benefit, right? So that's what we're doing here. So that's problem, agitate, solve. That's under your profile, okay? So we're going to use that problem, agitate, solve, and here are the two questions. You know, how is this specifically affecting him or her right now? And how do you feel that this will specifically affect him or her in the future? If you just use those two questions, you'll be eons and eons ahead of where you are, okay, if you're one of the 300 people I've talked to in the last several weeks, okay? Now, number three, praise. When you do your program's praise, here's where you're describing to them how you can solve the problem. And I would recommend you do very little of this. What you're doing is a trial close. You should be asking questions. And each question is something like, well, Mr. Jones, you know, how our program works is we have a very structured program that encourages the student to actually practice their focus. We actually have exercises and drills and things like that in our school that help them build that skill. It's not just something that we're going to lecture and tell them to be focused and scold them if they're not. We're actually going to teach them the process of being focused. Do you think that that would be something that could benefit him in this way? So it's always asking him the question, and you're using his response to the question to solidify the close, right? To solidify setting the appointment. He says, yes, I think that would be important. Okay, great. Well, another piece of our program that's going to be very important for you and very important for Johnny is that we're going to surround him with an environment of people who are committed to being focused, committing to improving their level of focus. It's sort of like being in a math class where everyone's working on math. It helps everyone do a little bit better. Well, in our school, it's exactly the same way. Everyone's working on improving their level of focus. Do you feel that being surrounded by that type of an environment might help him? Oh, yeah, I really think that that's what he needs. Okay, great. See, all of this feedback is just fueling my appointment, right? Now, the prompt. The last thing is to schedule the appointment to do for your evaluation, whatever your evaluation is. Frankly, in 90% of these phone calls, I've never talked about price. I've never promised anything for free. I've never told them that I have a 9-week for $99. I've never done any of that crap. You don't need any of that crap. All of that has to do with features, not needs, right? You almost never should have to say, oh, yes, we do a free 2-week trial. We do a 9-week for $99. We do a 4-week for $29. You should never have to get there, right? You should basically move straight from the trial close, asking him if he feels that type of an environment would be valuable, to, okay, well, Mr. Jones, the first thing we have to do, before we can really choose a program for Johnny and really look at what pieces of the program are going to be the most appropriate for him, we have to do a little one-on-one evaluation so that, you know, we can really get a good sense of Johnny's level of focus and his attention span and to see exactly where he is with all this stuff. And it's really important for us to do that in a one-on-one setting where, you know, I can really get a good look and make an accurate recommendation. I have two times available, Thursday at 4 and Friday at 7. Which one works better for you, right? So in that entire conversation, I've never talked about, you know, a trial offer or any of that stuff. And any of that stuff doesn't have anything to do with anything, right? So you just have to ignore it. You just have to move on and talk about them. Don't talk about you, right? So then you set the appointment. Now, wow, we are rapidly running out of time. Point 2 and point 3 of my prompt is worth probably, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 to each one of you people, to each one of you guys, to each one of your people in your school that are running your locations in the next 12 months. We have right now about a 45% success rate at getting a new introductory student, a new introductory lesson to bring a friend. Now, it's not a great ratio, but most people have a zero ratio, right? And here's how we do it. This is extremely valuable for you, okay? This is one of the reasons I wanted to have this do this teleconference today, because in all of the calls that I did over the last several weeks, no one asked me to bring a friend. No one asked me if I knew anybody that could benefit. No one asked me anything like that. And here's how we handle it in a very non-salesy, congruent, honest, ethical manner. Okay, Mr. Jones, I have two times available, Thursday at 4 and Friday at 7. Which one would work better for you? Well, I can make it by 7 o'clock on Friday. Okay, great, 7 o'clock Friday. Do you know where we're located? Okay, and even if they say yes, I still tell them, you know, yes, I do. Okay, great. Well, we're right on the corner of Gibling and Jewel and, you know, whatever. You know, we just tell them where the location is. I'm going to go ahead and make sure I set some time aside for you at 7 o'clock, and we'll go ahead and follow up and confirm your appointment also the day of. What number can I reach you at, you know, between 9 and noon on Friday? Okay, is that your cell phone number? Okay, great. Maybe give me your cell phone number, too, just in case, right? So you get both their numbers. And if you've built a relationship with this person, none of this is a problem, right? None of it's a problem. If you haven't adequately built a relationship, all of this is a problem, right? So it's all about building a congruent relationship with that person. Now, here's where we go. Okay, great. I'll go ahead and call you between 9 and noon on Friday. If for some reason something comes up and you're not able to make it, please give me a call. We do a very tight schedule, and I want to make sure that I can perhaps put someone else in that slot. So if something does come up, please make sure you give me a buzz. You know, one other thing, Mr. Jones, that we've learned over the years is that, especially with Johnny being 9 years old and never doing any type of martial art before in his life before, one of the things we've learned is that sometimes when a student comes for their first lesson, they're a little bit apprehensive, right? They're a little nervous and a little bit, a little bit uncomfortable. And one of the things that we've learned is that if that person has someone that they're comfortable with, has a friend that, you know, that they spend time with, that they like to be with, that you know, it can really help make them feel a lot more comfortable and really help to bring them out of their shell for that first lesson, which really gives us a much more accurate impression of what his focus level is like and what his level of coordination is. Who's Johnny's best friend? Oh, his best friend is Billy from across the street. Great. Well, you know, do you think that it would be possible for Johnny to bring Billy as a guest as well? It's going to do two things for us. Number one, it's really going to help Johnny open up and be more comfortable in a new environment if he has someone there that he's comfortable with. And number two, you know, perhaps Billy might be able to benefit from our school as well, and that might be an opportunity for him as well. Do you think that would be possible? And what we're getting is about 60% of the time, the prospect says, yeah, I think that'd be great. And then we then try to have that person invite them, right? Like live, right there, you know? And just 3 ways into the call or whatever. And or we try to get their contact information. So that's sort of like, you know, the neither here nor there part of it. So we're getting about 60% of the people that say, yes, I have someone who might benefit, and it might help Johnny to be more comfortable. And then really about 40% of them are actually bringing somebody. So we're getting, again, about 40% of our intro lessons who show up bring a friend with them, right? Now, we have to go through the entire confirmation process with them and their friend and all that stuff, too, you know, to try to tweak that ratio up to where it is. But that thread of conversation is worth your time today, right? That little piece of conversation, in all likelihood, again, we do a lot of work on it, but we get about 40% of the people bring another person, and we're enrolling about half of them, right? So again, this is people who you would never be talking to anyway are now coming to you, you know, pre-framed already, right? So I think that's one thing that's really important for us to be thinking about, and no one did it when I called them on the phone. And the last thing is, before we break, and I know that I promised time for questions, and I will open up the line in just a moment here. The last thing, I had an email question from yesterday that I wanted to get to, and then I'll go ahead and open up the line if anybody has any direct questions. And it was about how to preframe commitment on the phone call. And basically what I'm assuming they're describing is that if you mishandle the info call, if your info call is all about your $99 trial, or if it's all about your 2 weeks for $29, or if it's all about your, you know, whatever your trial offer is, if that's what your info call becomes about, then you've just pre-framed that person to think about your school in those terms, right? So instead of them thinking about your school like a school that's an ongoing program, you've just planted the seed in their head that, oh, I have to make a 9-week decision. Okay, no big deal, right? Now they come down, and you enroll them in your 9-week for $99 thing, and then halfway through your $99 thing, you go back to them and say, well, you know, are you ready to enroll in our real program now? And it's a 6-month commitment or 12-month commitment or whatever. See, you've done yourself a disservice at the front, right? You've done yourself a disservice in creating the relationship with the customer to begin with, because you gave them something false to think about, a way to think about your school. They're thinking about your school, oh, 9 weeks for $99, so that means at the end of the 9 weeks, I decide if I'm going to do it for another 9 weeks, and then I decide if I'm going to do it for another 9 weeks and all that stuff, right? So the best way to preframe for commitment in the information call is to not preframe against commitment on the information call, right? So you should literally ignore virtually anything on the information call that has to do with your trial offer. The only reason to have a trial offer is to get the phone to ring to begin with. So if I have a newspaper ad or a mailer or a direct mail piece or a flyer or a voice broadcast, whatever it is, or an email or website, and I have a special offer on there, that's fine. But that offer is only designed to get the phone to ring. Once the phone rings, I'm not going to do a bait and switch, right? I'm not going to say, well, I know the website says 2 weeks for $29, but you can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to completely ignore it altogether because I don't want to further damage their psyche, right? I don't want to further preframe them for shorter midterm commitment at all. I want them to come to the table fresh. Now, I'm still going to offer them either a value based on the trial, right? So in my second lesson when I enroll them, I'm going to say, well, you know, you brought in with you the 9 weeks for $99 trial. That's option number one. Option number two is you can enroll in our main program over here, our orientation program, and instead of, you know, the $99, I can give you a $399 credit for turning that $99 offer in. Which one would you prefer? You know, that sort of thing. So you can always transition that at the end. That's not a big deal. But the most important thing is that you don't damage them before you even meet them, right? You don't want to pre-frame them for anything that will, you know, this is the same reason, by the way, on any martial arts school's website, we should not have your class schedule, right? You should not have your class schedule on your website. You should not have your class schedule publicly available to anyone, because the only thing that can do is disqualify people psychologically, right? A prospect looks at your schedule, and they see that you have basic classes on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and they say to themselves, oh, well, I can't do Thursday, so I must not be able to go here. I'll go find someone else, somewhere else. Well, see, you never had the chance to tell them that you only needed them to take two classes a week or three classes a week, right? You didn't have that dialogue with them. So this is the same thing. You have to be very conscious of and strategic with every message you put into their mind, and not allow any of those messages to get in the way of your enrollment process, right? And to pre-frame them negatively for what you're doing to sort of damage their expectations, right? If I come in, if I enrolled my daughter in dance, and the dance lady said, okay, great, well, bring her on down because we've got a great 4-week program for $49. Okay, great. My psychology right now just told me, okay, well, we'll do dance for a month, and then I'll go look for something else. In fact, I might as well start looking now. Okay, because we're going to enroll in dance for this 4-week thing, and then we're going to go do gymnastics for something else, you know, that sort of thing, right? So you've got to be very careful with that. Okay, so that was the most poignant question that I had emailed to me over the last couple of days that I thought was most valuable for everybody. Oh, well, that's interesting. I just had an email that the passcode may have been wrong. Okay, interesting. Well, I'll fix that and do the replay for them. But anyway, so I hope that that's useful. I am going to go ahead and put us in Q&A mode now, which means everyone will be muted. Yeah, so we're in Q&A mode right now. So I've got just a few more minutes that we can spend on this, and I think that I think it'd be very useful if you do have a specific question about these advanced techniques or going back to the basic, you know, 4 P's. That's fine. Go ahead and hit 6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted, and I can see that you've unmuted yourself, and I'll sort of call on you by phone number, maybe by first three. Okay, all right, someone's unmuted already. If your last four is 8876, what do you got? You got a question?
Yes, sir. I do have a question. My name is Jason Felice. I am calling from Texas. And I have a question in regards to the actual trial course. You know, what we're doing right now, Toby, is we're allowing our clients to come in. And then when they pick up the phone, we already do have a systematic approach to, you know, pivot and profile and praise, and then prompting them to take a call of action. But what right now we're doing is possibly what you're saying we shouldn't be doing as far as giving them an offer. Our trial offer allows them to come to two private, one-on-one classes with the chief instructor, and they can even get a uniform for $20. And then after that, we'll sit down and we'll go ahead and try to enroll them on the second trial course immediately after they're done liking it. Trial courses for us are only like, you know, 15 to 25 minutes tops. The second one after the 25 minutes, we get them in the office and try to enroll them after they've given those $20. And our idea behind it was if they're paying for at least two classes in a uniform, then hopefully we've already got them in the mentality that nothing is going to be for free in the school. Are we on the right track or should we tweak that up?
Well, I think I missed a piece of what you said. So they're doing two free trial classes and $20 for the uniform. Is that what the offer was?
Yes, sir. The offer is two trial classes with a uniform for $20.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, you're probably fine. I mean, because I don't think you violated the sensibility of it's a 2-day program. I don't think anybody's going to jump to that conclusion. I think the only other – yeah, you know, so I think you're so far on the other end of the spectrum, you're fine. The thing that and again, exactly how you execute the model doesn't make a lot of difference. What really makes a difference is what you're planting in their head to begin with. I'm not sure if you even need to tell them until they get there, right? Like, you know, we've seen absolutely no diminishment. Like, we've seen no drop in ratios by not telling them anything about a price to get them in the door, right? And again, you know, you can have that conversation with them when you get them into the first intro and say, well, you know, see, okay, here's what I'm describing. The only thing I need to do is get them into the school, right? Once I get them in the school, everything's aces, right? I'm fine there because we're going to enroll 80% of the people that come in, we're going to enroll them, right? So my big challenge is just getting them to shut up, right? And when I say a big challenge, I just mean psychologically, that's what we need to spend a lot of time on. So we don't even talk about money. We don't talk about dollars. We don't talk about commitment. We're 100% focused on, we don't know what program is going to be right for you until we take a look at you, right? And exactly. So the first step is to come in for that first evaluation, and there's absolutely no cost or obligation to you.
I see. Okay. Because, yeah, okay, I get you. I was just thinking, if they were to come in, and we are doing that trial course for, you know, for $20, and if they come in, and we don't mention money or the phone, and they come in, I want them to come in prepared, at least me knowing that it's going to cost them $20. What if they come in and go, oh, you know what? I mean, you didn't even tell me it was going to cost me $20.
Yeah, well, I understand your point there. And again, I believe that you're so far on the other end of the spectrum that you're not violating that sensibility of lack of commitment. I think you're fine.
Okay, awesome.
Now, yeah. And let me expand on that in one way. On our intro cycle, again, it's one step beyond the phone call, but on our introductory cycle, what we really want to do is have the student come in for the first lesson, and then when they go home, we're sending them with all this stuff, right? So we send them with the DVD and the CD and the booklet and the PowerPoint thing, right? So what we need them to do is go home and watch the DVD, and that does most of the sale for us. But so for us, I don't even have commitment or money conversations until the end of the first lesson, in which case I'm going to send them home with this big information package and with some questions that they have to answer when they come back in for their second lesson. So again, it's a little bit down the road of the topic, but you're so far on the other end of the spectrum, you're fine. Again, what you said a minute ago is exactly right for everybody in the call. There should be no reason that you have to talk about term or money over the phone. There just isn't a reason to. And what you just said reinforces that, you know, for everybody. You don't have to. If it's all about the problem you can solve and how they can get started seeing if this is something that's a good fit for them, you don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? But yeah,
sure.
You're exactly right. Yeah. Good. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
No trouble. There's one more unmuted here, and let me see. You're a 209 area code. Is there a 209 on the line live?
Yes, Toby. Hey, my name is Jeff Salmary. I'm in California.
Hey,
how you doing? Hey, just a quick one here. I'm implementing this right now. If a student comes in, and, you know, sometimes you can tell they're excited and they want to sign up and they want a karate uniform. If not, you know, I give everybody two free classes. Hey, come work out in your sweats for two classes. Or, you know, you can watch. But what I'm trying to implement is a 12-month basic karate class where I have four items I teach. And then the leadership program and the black belt club is added on. And after the 12-month, you can add on to these other items. You know, it might start out at 75, then each other would be 50 and 50. And what it's done for me is set up, you know, when I'm going to teach weapons, you need to be at a certain level. If I'm going to teach self-defense, you need to be at a certain level. The leadership program, you need to be at a certain level. This way, I'm not giving too much to people too early. What do you think?
Well, it is a dramatically different question than what we're talking about today. But I'll tell you that, and look, you know, opinion is opinion. Right? Everybody has opinion. But I'll tell you what the math is. The math is this. The math is that you're setting up a system to make math work against you rather than working for you. And here's what I mean by that. Okay. If you're one of the best schools in the industry, if you have the okay. best retention rate in the martial arts industry right now, you're somewhere between 3 and 5% attrition rate, right? So that means, that, let's say you're 3%. Let's say you're the best. And I think Chris Rapold had a school for a while that was running 2.8 or something like that. But let's say you're 3% attrition rate. That means in 12 months, 36% of your students are going to be gone, right? So that means if you make your entire student body wait 12 months to get involved in something more robust, then you've lost 36% of your potential prospects into that program. You're only going to have 64% of the people that have the opportunity to take advantage of it. So you've just cut by a third your opportunity to have people in that program. Okay? Now, if you make them wait 2 years, now you've cut by two-thirds the ability to have anybody in that program. So what I'm saying is you've got two things to think about. Number one is how you teach the curriculum is completely up to you. There's no reason that if you enroll in leadership today as a gold belt, that I have to immediately teach you weapon. There's no reason you have to do that. But there's also no reason that I have to make you wait until you're a blue belt. Because frankly, if I have the opportunity to impact you with this leadership curriculum earlier in your training, your retention will be better, not worse. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? So you're asking a big question, right?
How about this? The way I have it spelled out is more internalized for me to manage, mm-hmm. and I would offer them, you know, the three programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
would that be a good idea?
I understand what you're saying, and you're right. You don't want the thing to become a beast, that sort of takes on its own life and becomes unmanageable. And I guess what I'm describing is that you don't have to directly connect. See, okay, here's the deal. In the way our model works, as far as leadership for us doesn't have anything to do with physical curriculum, right? Our leadership students are learning physically virtually all the exact same things as our orientation people are, except for things like sparring and weapons and stuff like that, right? Let me back up. Our orientation people are only learning basics, and our goal is to move them out of orientation within the first 2 to 4 months of their training into either master club or leadership. And at that stage, like you said, you have to be very careful you don't overload too much stuff on them, right?
Right.
But just because let's say I'm a gold belt and I enroll in leadership today, it doesn't mean that I have to now immediately start learning three-sectional staff and cane and, you know, things that are going to be too difficult for me. It doesn't mean that at all. The curriculum, the physical curriculum for us is very disconnected from, it's very disconnected from the teaching process of the leadership curriculum. So the people who are enrolling in leadership for us, who choose to pay us $359 a month, right, rather than just $199 a month, right, the ones who choose to do that aren't doing it because they get to learn a new weapon or a new form. They're doing it because the structure of the class is directly designed to teach them leadership skills like the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership and the 17 indispensable qualities of teamwork and psychology of winning and those types of things, right? Now, all of those things are modular, just like the rest of our curriculum is. So we're still only teaching 3 modules at any one time, right? We haven't overcomplicated our life at all. But what we've done is allowed the opportunity for a gold belt to enroll in leadership, still have the leadership benefits without complicating our curriculum. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So you'd have to keep those classes separate.
Right. What we do is we have – okay, right. Again, this is a big question. No. It's fine. It's fine. This is a big question, but here's the short answer. You really have to understand – you really need to be at A to Z Blueprint Day in Texas because I'm going to go through this in ad nauseum detail at A to Z Day. But basically how we do it is we have all the master clubs – everybody's lined up. 45 minutes of the class goes by. We say, okay, everybody line up. All right, Master Club students, you are dismissed. Leadership students, go get your sanjabong, your nunchucks. So the Master Club students leave. The leadership people stay for the last 15 to 20 minutes of the class. They have their special leadership time then. So we've even more simplified it than what you're describing.
It's got to be
simple. You can't allow – one of the things that – Melody Schumann, I really like Melody a lot. I didn't push anything. I don't know what's going on. We got to fix this bridge. I love Melody. I think she's great. But one thing that I think she's done with her age-specific thing is really overcomplicated running a school. And in reality, you have to simplify. You have to make all these things work together without creating this sort of...
Well, that was a very simple idea you had there after class. Okay, you're dismissed. Leadership program, go grab your NUP checks. Because now the other students say, hey, wait, I want the leadership program.
Wow. Well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Plus, you don't have to have a whole separate class. And see, one of the fundamental mistakes school owners make when they implement additional programs is that they make them almost invisible to everybody else in the school. So, like, one of the biggest mistakes is having a special class on Friday only for your leadership, right? So now that means two things. That means, number one, if I'm a parent and I can't make Fridays, then that means I can't do leadership. Right, okay, well, that's silly. The second thing, I don't mean silly like negatively, but, you know, that just doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
The second thing is, let's say it's at, you know, Friday at 7 o'clock. Well, the only people that are ever going to see what they're doing are the people who have class that ends at 7 on Friday. No.
Right.
I want all the people who are not involved in leadership yet to see everything the leadership guys are doing and be able to say, wow, when I get to be a gold belt, I can go do that too. You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, very smart. Very smart.
So anyway,
good idea. I wrote that one down. Thank you. Sorry for the big question.
No. It's okay. But I do think we should, you know, wrap back around to InfoCall and advanced InfoCall strategies. So we have about 4 minutes left, I think, before our line cuts us off. Or apparently, with all the technical problems, it might be sooner than that, unbeknownst to any of us. But any other questions, thoughts, comments, clarifications you may need on this stuff? Go ahead and hit 6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted. And I can see that you're unmuted, and I can, actually, you could probably just speak up if you want right now. Looks like 519.
Joe from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Joe, what's going on, man?
Just thank you. I've been listening to you for a lot of months. Thank you very much.
Good. I'm glad. What's useful for you today?
Can I help you with everything. And you reiterate what you've gone over before, but it all helps a lot. It's helped me a great deal. Thank you.
Good. What can I do for you today? You have a specific question?
I just wanted to tell you thank you because I always enjoy when you're on. I enjoy everyone, but I enjoy when you're on. You get into all the little details that sometimes you think you agitate people with, but you don't. Those details are very, very necessary and appreciated. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Toby?
Yeah, man.
It's Derek Binder calling from London.
Hey, Derek. What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. I got a question for you. You said not to put the class schedule on the website or let it be public knowledge.
Yeah, man.
When people come in, is that also for them to ask, you know, or not prejudge, oh, I can't make it, but to have them come in and ask them about it? And when they do ask about it on the phone, you know, how do we keep them on the line, you know, like, because the first question might be, well, when are your classes?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and you know, the reason I think, well, let me revert. I reverted between voices there. What time are the classes? Well, you know, it's a great question. We have classes all throughout the evening, some early, some late, so that it can fit pretty much everybody's schedule. What specifically were you looking to get out of a martial arts program like this?
Okay.
You just porcupine them. You just throw it right back at them, right?
Right. Okay.
You say, we have classes that are earlier in the day and classes that are later in the day. What specifically was you were looking for to, you know, to accomplish in a program like this?
Okay. Great.
Yeah, you just porcupine them. And in reality, and if they push you for it, I mean, if they push you for it, really it's all about, again, it's exactly the same conversation you have when they ask you about price. Well, you know, it's difficult for me to tell you exactly what time the classes are because, frankly, we haven't really determined which classes are going to be the most appropriate for you yet.
Oh, right.
So the first step in the process is we really want to take a look at Johnny and see what where he's at with his level of focus and his self-confidence and his coordination. And, you know, some students need a little bit more help with that. Some students need a little less. And in large part, that's going to determine what classes are going to be right for him. So, you know, the first thing we need to do is kind of take a look at him and see what's going to make the most step. And then we can make some class recommendations. And I'm sure we'll be able to make something work for your schedule. So, you know, which time works better for you, Tuesday or Thursday? You know, that sort of deal?
Right, exactly.
It's real simple. Yeah, you got it. No problem. But, I mean, it's real simple. The pivot on all those questions really is to porcupine it. And the question you porcupine them with almost always is, are these lessons for you or a son or a daughter? And then it's what specifically is it that you wanted to see them accomplish in a program like this. And then you just go to problem, agitate, solve. You know, it's almost always that.
Beautiful.
Good. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
I saw somebody else unmute there, too.
Hey, Toby, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, Toby, this is Stan. I'm calling from Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Got a question for you about pivoting. Lately, I've been getting a lot of resistance to the idea of people signing 12-month contracts with our school. And it's getting to the point where people are actually calling or emailing me and asking, like, right off the bat, by the way, does your school do contracts? And my question is, how can I pivot off that without later poisoning the relationship when I do ask them after a three-class introductory process to then go about signing a 12-month contract?
Yeah, it's a good question. It is, however, pretty rare. See, there's two constituencies. There's two people who are going to call your school, right? 50% of the market, well, let me not use a percentage because it's probably not right. There are two different types of people that will call. Type number one are people who you've now marketed to in a competitive vacuum and who were not thinking about martial arts yesterday but are thinking about martial arts today, and they're not calling down the yellow pages. They're just calling you, right? So there's them. And then you've got another piece of the market who are just running their finger down the yellow pages, calling everybody, asking them every question they can think of, right? And that's fine. And it seems like what you're describing is version number two. Now, here's the technical piece of what I would do, right? Number one is, you still pivot, right? But I do think, though, that it's an exception more than the rule, because I think most people just aren't even thinking about – they just don't even know, about that yet. Not that they don't know about contracts, but they don't – I don't think they really understand what we do, so it's almost impossible to, sort of articulate all that. But really, the pivot on it is this. Well, it's a few things. But I guess if the question comes in, do you guys have contracts? Well, Mrs. Jones, we have lots of different programs at our school, and it sort of depends on which program is the most appropriate for you. Would these lessons be for yourself or a son or a daughter?
Gotcha.
And you just pivot, it's the same pivot, right? Now, if you get back into a corner, right, if they ask like three times, I'm not coming down there unless I know if I need to sign a contract or not. Well, look, it happens sometimes, right? Now, it's very rare. But if that's what it is, look, I just want to know before I get in the car if I got to sign a contract because, say they don't say because. I just got to know if I got to sign a contract. Well, Ms. Jones, let me ask you a question. What specifically is it about a contract that you would be hesitant with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did a thing at a health club a year ago, and I paid for a year, and I never went back, and they made me pay the contract off.
Yeah, okay. I've heard plenty of those.
Oh, sure. Okay, I understand. So is that something that you're afraid of with Johnny, or are you afraid that he's not going to commit to training, or what is it that you're afraid of there? Well, yeah, he does one thing for 2 months, and then he's off to another thing, and then he does another thing, and he quits, and he does another thing. Okay, well, let me ask you a question, and here's where you go back to emotionalizing. Is that a pattern of behavior that you want to support in Johnny? Well, what do you mean? Well, and here I would go back to the Bandler and Grinder study. Well, Mrs. Jones, two psychologists did a study a good number of years ago on college freshmen, and basically what they found was Ivy League freshmen. And what they found was these Ivy League students were having a deep drop-off in their standardized test scores after about 90 days. And really what it was they investigated into their background, and they found out that most of them were student-athletes, and they found that they were sort of preconditioned with a 90-day attention span because they would do soccer for 3 months and then quit, and they would do football for 3 months and they would quit, and they would do baseball for 3 months and they would quit. So really what they learned was a pattern of quitting instead of a pattern of being committed to something and sticking with it. Now, I would answer your question, Mrs. Jones, in two ways. Number one is, do you want him to continue this pattern, or do you think that we should work together and do something to remedy the pattern, and fix it? And the second thing I would say is, yes, Mrs. Jones, we do require a mutual written agreement with each of our students, and I would be very skeptical of any business, especially in this economy, how many fly-by-night businesses there are out there, that would not be willing to give you a written agreement. So you just have to frame the written agreement as a benefit for them.
Absolutely. Just a quick question. What's the name of that study that you quoted a moment ago?
Well, Bandler and Grinder are the two psychologists that did all the neuro-linguistic programming, the NLP research it's all the stuff that Anthony Robbins stole, right?
Okay.
It's all the stuff that he ripped off and built all of his product on, basically. But it's all about neuro-linguistic programming and neuro-associative conditioning, NLP and NAC. And really, it's just all about – it's all the stuff that we all teach in our schools, but many of us don't know we teach it. It's all about the fact that the sum of our experiences equals our future actions, right? So if I if I experientially learn to quit every 90 days, I will continue that pattern of behavior. That pattern of behavior will eke itself into other pieces of my life. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
My career, I'll have a 90-day attention span on my projects, and I'll have a 90-day attention span with my jobs, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that's a pretty valuable resource for us.
Absolutely. So if I can just paraphrase what you said there for the last 5 minutes, because I do have to get going here. Basically, the way to handle something like the conjure thing is just to keep pivoting like crazy until you have a chance to, you know, demonstrate to the prospective student and their families, you know, why it's beneficial to actually stay with you for 12 months versus, you know, continuing, previous patterns of joining things and then quitting, basically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's right. I think that the 12-month thing just never really comes up. You know,
yeah.
In reality, I mean, in most cases, and I mean by like 95 or more percent of the cases, when we do our second intro, mm-hmm. we've already pre-framed price, but we've never even, in fact, in most cases, we've got the contract signed before we even go back and show them that it's for 12 months. We just call it an orientation course. We never yeah. even tell them it's 12 months. We just give them the written agreement. We circle the three big parts of the written agreement that we want them to read through. We have them sign it, and then we flip it over, and we say, okay, well, you know, here's the thing. We get the check or the credit card or whatever, and then we say, okay, well, here are the things. It's, you know, begins here, ends here, all that stuff. We do all that after the deal's done. You know.
Okay, I see. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. No problem. I saw one more unmute there. Ooh, a couple more. Yikes. Go ahead. If you're I don't know who to mute back. go ahead if you're unmuted.
Hey, Toby. It's
yeah.
Jeff again. Hey, that was a good question that last person just had on the pivot for the contract. What about the thought of the positive-negative? Listening to it, it sounded like as soon as somebody asked that question, it became negative instead of maybe saying, well, hey, that sounds great. If you would like a contract, we'd be happy to do that for you. We could do that for you, sure. And then right away you're going to know if they like contracts or don't like contracts.
Yeah, you know, I really do. I agree. I mean, I really feel it's so rare. You know, I mean, probably in all the information calls, if it's 5% of the information calls, I'd be surprised. But
right.
I mean, in reality, what you're saying is right, and that's sort of what I did. Is you make it a benefit to them, you make
right.
it. Well, Mrs. Jones, I wouldn't personally. If it was me and my daughter, I wouldn't put her in any program that would be resistant to giving me a written agreement. You know, that would agree to me that they were going to do what they said they were going to do. You know,
right.
I wouldn't put my daughter in any daycare, any school, nothing. I wouldn't put her anywhere where I wouldn't have some guaranteed assurances in written form from the owner. You know what I mean? So I think you're
gotcha.
Right. I think you make it a benefit.
There you go. Okay. Thanks, Toby.
Sure. And I saw there was another one unmuted there. Go ahead if you've got a question. Quickly, we are going to get cut off in about a minute here, so go fast. I can hear somebody.
Toby.
Yeah.
James Ferris here.
James, what's going on, man?
Hey, everything. Hey, I've got a quick question for you. How do you reply to the question about, okay, and we're getting this a lot lately, after the 2 weeks, how much does it cost?
Well, keep in mind I never addressed 2 weeks. You know, that really isn't even
part
of the first.
Oh, like listing a postcard out with 2 week special on it to get somebody to call, and then they come back with, after the 2 weeks, how much is it? So they've already seen that we have a 2 week offer.
Right. Okay.
On
so
our website
really
or on a postcard or something like that, and they'll come back and ask that question, and we're getting a high number of that.
Yeah. They recite back the offer. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really the same pivot. It's well, Mrs. Jones, that all depends on exactly what program is going to be the most appropriate for you, and frankly, we just really won't know that until we take a good look at Johnny and find out exactly where he's at and what's going to make the most sense for him. So, you know, the first step in the process is to go ahead and complete that one-on-one evaluation so that we can really make the best recommendation for you. And then we'll sit down and take a look at all the options and, you know, make sure that you're absolutely comfortable with that, with all the processes and all the structures in the school before we talk about any type of a program. So, you know, that's basically how it works. You know what I mean? So I think you just pivot off it the exact same way. You know, I think it's, well, you know, it just really all depends on exactly what's going to make the most sense, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty much how we handle it, but that doesn't seem to be sufficing.
You know, I'll tell you another piece of that, by the way, that's interesting. And we're testing it now in all the Mile High Karate schools. And so far, the postcard series is working pretty well. We are totally going to get cut off. But in 5 seconds or less, one of the messages that we're testing in the marketplace right now that's getting some traction is using the economy to our advantage. And the phraseology in the sales letter and on the postcards is something like this. You know, discerning parents in this difficult economy are making educated, difficult choices about how many and which activities they're getting involved in with their children. And we are like five activities in one. You know, we're like five things in one. We're like, you know, the balance and coordination of dance and the, you know, the flexibility and skill of gymnastics and the, you know, so we're kind of like, our message to the marketplace lately has been combining five or six activities into our thing, layering on the whole leadership thing and the whole respect and self-discipline thing as sort of like a unique selling proposition, and we're using the economy as a positive piece of the argument. So that might be something that, and we are totally going to get cut off, that might be, I'm getting the beep in my ear, and that might be something that we all may want to consider using in the sales script as well, is, you know, Mrs. Jones, I got to tell you, I understand how you feel. You know, you may be a little, apprehensive about the economy and about those types of things, but I got to tell you, you're making the best decision you can because, you know, this is like enrolling in five other sports all at once, you know, that sort of deal. Okay, guys, look, we got to run. At that, I got to go. Keep in mind that the